Aloha and warm welcome to our superhero gathering today. This is Ariel, and I'm delighted to be here with you. I think we'll have our brother joining us as well. So let's just begin today with a little centering in, whether the day's almost over for you or if it's morning, perhaps if you're in Australia. We're just going to take a few moments to go inside. So as you take a few deep breaths, just allow the weight of the world, all of the details, to kind of just collapse, to dissolve out of your awareness. As you just breathe and come more and more into your center, feeling your energy turning inward, and feeling yourself drop into the center of your heart. It's like all of your energy is just grounding into the center of your heart. And the mind is able to come to an easy, restful place. And as you drop deeper inside, you just take a moment to make a connection with the higher power, the light. And you just take the next few moments to absorb the love of this one and the peace emanating from our source, the beloved. Rays of deep, sweet peace. Reminding us of who we are, who I am. A radiant light of peace. And so enjoying these vibrations as we enter this beautiful call today, and I see Brother Nick has joined us. Hi, Nick.
Hello, dear. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. So, if anybody has any questions, of course, go ahead and press star 2 throughout the call. If you're on the webcast, just enter your question in. And most of all, we definitely love to help you with anything that surfaced questions, things you'd like to explore. Well, that's what we're here for. And Brother Nick, would you like to start out with anything you'd like to share?
Well, the main realization I've had lately, and it's been reinforced over and over and over, is that when we're in the personality realm, the realm of the personality where we speak from and call this body I, and the mindset that goes with that, we are in a very precarious place that is being exposed quite brutally now, what I'm observing in the people around me and the people that I'm working with. If that is if your mind is as deep as you go within yourself, you're going to be seriously exposed. And you're because life is testing our roots right now. So we have to go deeper beyond the mind. And then we're in a freedom and peace experience, which is where we're supposed to be living from anyway. And everything's fine. It's more than fine. It's wonderful. But life is becoming quite merciless now with how it's exposing individuals. And it's becoming very, very obvious. And this technological explosion over the last 10, 20 years with all this vast amount of information that's available to everyone is psychoactivating. It just feeds the mind with more and more and more and more concepts and ideas. And it's getting to overload levels now. So the mind can't figure anything out. It has no solutions whatsoever. It's part of the, because it is attached to the ego. There's nothing you can think that you can't contextualize from your own ego. There's nothing you can think at all. Even your most out there thoughts, you can contextualize them from your personality point of view. So we need to go beyond that, beyond mind, and we go deep within ourselves. And I just want to share a really simple exercise to do that. I just want you all to say thank you out loud. Just say thank you and feel the feeling of thank you.
Thank
just
you.
Say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And feel the feeling of that. Keep saying thank you out loud. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now keep saying thank you, but don't say it out loud. Think it with a very clear thought. Hear it in your mind, but don't say it out loud. And keep feeling the feeling. Keep saying thank you quietly inside of yourself. So you can hear it inside of you, but you can't hear it. No one can hear it if they're standing next to you, but you can hear it. The inner voice, the mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, don't say it and don't think it. Don't say it and don't think it, but intentionalize the statement. Intentionalize thank you. Use your intention to transmit thank you, thank you, thank you. But don't think it. Don't think it. And if you did that successfully, if you were able to do that, what you will have found is that if you were sensitive enough, that when you were saying thank you, it was quite normal. Your normal waking state. And then when you thought thank you, you went a little deeper into yourself. And then when you intentionalized thank you without thought and without speaking, you went even deeper. And it was a little tricky not to think it. But that depth, the final depth, that's where we need to be living from. And through that little portal, you are absolutely free. That's where your freedom is. That's out the cage. The mind is a cage. The physical body, body consciousness is the identifying with that gets you into the cage. And the mind is the cage. So going beyond mind through intentionality, living with intention, beyond thought, helps you to feel the depth that you're existing from. And you can do this while you're doing anything, anywhere. And if you can practice that, living from that depth, you're in a safe place. You're in a grace place. And if you are on those, if you're stuck in the mind or on that superficial persona level and your roots aren't going deep enough into you, you're going to be wobbled around big, big style, and your world is probably going to get turned upside down sooner rather than because it's happening. It's happening, it's sweeping across the world right now. People are absolutely, utterly being overwhelmed by their own internal processes, by the eruptions in their own mind, by astral, all kinds of astral purging going on. So we need to be out of those realms, in our depth, anchored in there, coming from that place. And we're very good at it. Everyone can do it, even though it might have been a little tricky. We can all do this. It's very natural for us to do this because it's where we're supposed to be living. It's what we're designed to do, how we're designed to be. So it just takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of mindfulness.
It's so beautiful, Nick. So essential. It's something so natural, that feeling state of gratitude. With gratitude comes love, comes patience, comes peace and easiness. It's all very much connected into our depth and into our being. And I came across a passage today that I wanted to read to you all. Really beautiful, and it was just kind of an exercise as well. It's from a book called "I Know How to Live, I Know How to Die." And it's about the teachings of a really sweet soul, great soul, 100 years old, and named Daddy Janki. Nick's familiar, and it says, "Say to yourself." So as I read this, you can just feel it in your center. Say to yourself, I am the soul, child of the Supreme. I am accepted, appreciated, and adored by God. I am a hero actor. My fall and rise are as natural as winter and spring. This body is a costume, one of many that have enabled me to play my part. It is my creation, and it reflects aspects of who I am, but it is not me. I am the eternal soul. My original nature is of love, peace, and joy. Each one's part is his own in this eternal drama of existence. There is nothing new under the sun and nothing to worry about. The task of recreation has already been achieved countless times. Just breathing, and as we're on this topic of feeling the consciousness behind words, feeling the consciousness even behind the powerful thought of thank you. And becoming that consciousness, dropping into our heart and knowing the self to be the being being of peace. The human part is corporeal, it is perishable. It's like Nick said, identifying with the body and the personality will always leave us in sorrow and in upheaval. And so what a precious gift that we're here and connecting as superheroes in the world and practicing coming into our depth.
So let's just consider this a little deeper, what Daddy Yankee just said, what Ariel just shared, and what I shared. There is a state of consciousness which is deeper than your physical world where you're speaking and your mental world where you're thinking. And you have absolute access to that place within you. And I just gave you a really simple exercise of just saying thank you, thinking thank you, and then intentionalizing thank you. Not thinking it, not speaking it, but feeling the feeling, experiencing the experience. When you can experience the experience without thinking or speaking it, you are out of the cage automatically. And when you're out of the cage, your life self-organizes. Your life, your whole existence self-organizes. And just the same as you, when you eat some food, you have no idea what happens to it when it goes down your throat. You have these vague ideas, but you have no idea about the peristalsis, the digestion, the enzymatic activity, the biochemical consequences, the electrochemical consequences, the electromagnetic consequences, the neurochemical consequences, the hormonal, the central nervous system, etc., 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 and the details and the details and details and details of that. You have no idea whatsoever. None of us do. And it's the same with life. We have no idea what's going on, really and honestly. So we don't have to consciously digest our food, and we don't have to consciously be able to organize every facet and detail of our existence, of our eternal existence. It all happens for us. Life is so wonderful. There is a way of being which requires you to move your sense of self away from the body consciousness, away from the mental, into something deeper within you. You have to find that door. And when you slip through that door, you're out of the cage. And you can just practice speaking, thinking, intentionalizing thank you, and you will experience what it means to be out of the cage. As you do that, your life self-organizes. What does that mean? It means that instead of being stuck in the physical and the mental, where you're constantly having to deal with your stuff, it's a constant process, and you're going to go up, and you're going to come down. You're going to have negative experiences. You're going to have positive experiences. You're going to be happy when it's positive and sad when it's negative. And you're just on the same wave and roller coaster that everyone else is. And the more time you spend on it, the more of a groove is developed in your soul, in your psyche. The soul has extremely sensitive membranes, and anything that's repeated, thoughts, words, actions, feelings, create grooves in the psyche, and we are like a stuck record in these grooves. And you think about it, if you're stuck in your mind, it's the same thoughts coming round and round and round and round. The same patterns coming round and round and round. Cyclic. So you don't have to spend years in therapy and process. The process that so many people talk about, it's a process. Life's a process. Spiritual journey, it's a process. It's a complete illusion that it's a process, just the way as everything else is an illusion. So you can slip out of this illusory realm into a realm where there is no process. There's just freedom and peace. And you hold yourself in there. You hold yourself in there, the anchor point of absolute faith, burning, burning faith, absolute certainty, a focal point of absolute and total certainty. In Sanskrit, it's called nischay. You hold yourself in that focal point, regardless of what you're witnessing, your personality playing out, or your mind thinking. Regardless of that, that's got nothing to do with who you are. So you slip through the levels from the speaking, through the thinking, into the intentionalization. And you can hold yourself in this for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. You can actually hold yourself in this constantly. It's very natural for us to live from this depth. And the anchor point for holding yourself in there is faith. And it just takes a little bit of practice to re-familiarize yourself with this. Recognize it, remember it, recreate it. Just a little bit of practice. And then it becomes very simple. And this is where you need to be living from if you are interested, genuinely interested, in being able to hold space for other people and be like a lighthouse in the storms that are happening right now. Deep, deep roots in the rock. This is a wonderful
powerful
thing.
It's a wonderful thing, and perhaps you're really feeling that depth, and you're feeling that vibration, and you're having that experience. And the sweet silence that comes in the mind when we slip through, as Nick shared, and stabilize ourselves in that depth of our being, in that faith, in that effortless feeling connected to a higher power, and being in the world in that way. I'd love to hear your experiences. There's a few of you on the call. So go ahead and press star 2. This is very much interactive. We'd like to know what your experience is. Perhaps new questions you have as well are very, very good. Oh, there we go. Wonderful. Is that Scarlett?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Scarlett.
Hi, Nick. Nice to meet you.
Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, good.
Beautiful energy.
Yeah, it's the first time get to speak to you. That's really great. Hi, Ariel.
Hi.
It's nice to hear. It's nice to speak to you.
Yeah. Good.
Well, I was thinking as you were speaking, Nick, lately since I've been doing the superhero training, there's been a number of occasions where people have, I don't know, it's just been in the moment, but where they've needed my emotional support on some one level or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what your advice is on the best way to deal with that, like, and coming from that place that you're talking about, slipping into that place during...
Great question.
What I've been doing...
Great question.
Thank you.
So,
can I just say one more thing? What I've been doing in those moments
mm-hmm.
is I find an internal prayer emerging. Like, one time it was Mother Mary. It was, "Oh, Mother Mary, be with me now. Be here with us." In my internal state, just prayed that over and over and held this person while they wept. And it seemed to help, and it seemed to keep me really grounded and really present. And different prayers are coming into my mind in these moments, and that's how I've been dealing with it.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, but if there was a Muslim listening to this or a Buddhist listening to this, that probably
I'm not Catholic either. It's not,
you know,
even a religious thing. It's it could be like anything. I'm just open to receiving.
Well, you know, the thing is what works for you. So there's two things, right? There's actually three things from what you just said. Number one, when you're being called to be an emotional support to someone, you have to understand what emotions are and how they relate to feelings and consciousness and the whole, you know, what superhero is, training is founded upon, what a superhero is, and everything that we've just shared in this call already. How do emotions and feelings relate to what we've just been sharing? And it's like this. The emotions are the waves that go through the ocean. And the waves are getting big now. We're in a stormy time. And because creation, the illusion of creation, the illusion of a world outside of us that we are trying to survive in or thrive in or whatever, because the creation is an illusion. The illusion is that it's outside of ourselves. It's all a manifestation of what's going on inside of us. And the waves, the emotions are the waves, the feelings are the ocean. So when you move from verbalizing something to thinking something to intentionalizing something, you go deeper in the ocean. And no matter how big the waves are, like I was in big waves yesterday morning. If you dive down deep enough, no matter how big the wave is that's coming through the ocean, it doesn't actually affect you. But if you're on the surface, you're going to get smashed like I did yesterday, I had my leg rope on, so I was tied to a big surfboard that floats. So I got absolutely smashed a couple of times. Really smashed, because I was tied to this board. But if I'd have let go of the board and just swum down, I'd have been able to just have a little picnic down there with nothing happening at all. So the thing is, the trick is to being an emotional support requires you to be living from a greater depth and certainty than the person that you're supporting, because they're not experiencing the depth of themselves, and they've lost their center. So they can be washed around by the ocean of life, and the storms are on now. But these are all natural phenomena moving through the invisible realms to test the integrity of consciousness. If consciousness is rooted in its own inner nature, everything's fine. Everything's fine. In fact, it's actually more than fine. It's absolutely wonderful. Because there's no more joy than when you can stand in these storms rock solid. And people are coming to you and they're absolutely spinning out and all over the place, and you can hold them and they entrain to you, or you can do a call and they entrain to you, to your vibration, the configuration of your energy, your consciousness. They can entrain to that and they can get the solidity that they're craving. But the thing is, you have to be able to explain to them how to shift into it themselves. And it's this whole thing about letting go of the personality, letting go of the thoughts, and going into a deeper sense of self, which you can navigate through the intention beyond thinking and speaking. And the anchor point that keeps you really anchored and solidly connected to that is your faith. So that allows you to live from the depth and be rock solid, and then you can hold individuals. Now, where prayer comes in is that it's basically an attitude and an action of humility. And it's very, very, very important. This is, I'm a huge proponent of prayer. And we did a call on this the other day, Taylor and I. Very, 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 very important. And we're doing another one on Friday. And the thing is if you're really going to hold the power of the whole thing moving through you and be able to stand rock solid at it and basically be a channel for the power of God or the presence of God, then you need to be spotless in terms of your ego interference in that. And prayer, asking for the support of a being or a pattern, a code that has already been validated in our mythology. For instance, the Mother Mary, the power of that being, the power of that pattern, archetype, mythology, whatever you want to call it, frequency, whatever it is, the power of it has already been validated over and over and over and over and over. Your faith connects you to that pattern, and then the proof is in the pudding. If you get a result, if you pray and you're able to bring peace to someone, bring peace to yourself, a whole piece for people or whatever you pray for, there's the proof in the pudding that it worked. So it's true for you. But then, like I said, a Buddhist or a Muslim or someone else that doesn't resonate with the Mother Mary, they might need to use something else. And also the ones that believe that they're God and don't humble themselves before the higher power, well, we have to see if they can actually get results. You see? So the God factor and the extensions of God, the pure extensions of God, Mother Mary is the divine mother. It's a feminine manifestation of God, or the feminine, the divine feminine in a form that we can relate to and conceptualize. And it's one thing, and the Mother Mary frequency is the salvation of the Roman Catholic religion. It's pretty much the only thing that exists in the Roman Catholic religion that is actually its salvation.
I can't hear you anymore.
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit, Nick.
The early one was the manifestation.
There we go.
Oh, yeah? Cutting out?
Yep.
No, now it's okay.
Oh,
thank
now
you,
you're gone.
One was the appearance of the Mother Mary to the children in Fatima in Portugal. And the other one was the appearance of the Mother Mary, the apparition of the Mother Mary to the shepherd in Mexico, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, and Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, she appeared to very poor people, manifested, and the Divine Mother frequencies went through the whole Roman Catholic world by word of mouth, from poor people to poor people, you see. So this thing is very, 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 very real. Very real and very, very good. So if you resonate with the Mother Mary, it's working for you, then stick to that. And just concentrate on anchoring yourself deeper and deeper and deeper in that realm of intentionality, soul consciousness, and Nisjay, beyond thought, beyond word, and just learn to intentionalize your prayer. You don't need to speak it out loud. You don't even need to think it out loud. It can happen instantaneously through your intention. So if you're holding space for someone, or any of you superheroes, you're going to be called to hold space for many people. You can drop in through gratitude, moving through the spoken, the thought, into the silent intentionality. Anchor yourself there with your faith, and then you can intentionalize the prayer, asking for support from whomever, however that resonates to you, or directly to God. But you do it through an intention rather than a spoken word or a thought. And it will happen instantaneously. And as you practice this more and more and more, you will realize that there is a way of being that you can actually exist in. That it's very simple, and it just requires you to live from depth and faith and intentionality. Did you get that?
Yes, thank you. How do you sidestep their drama if they're getting really into it, you know?
You have to break their pattern. You have to be prepared to be quite rude. I upset people all the time. All the time. Any really good teacher, healer, therapist, for want of a better word, will immediately break the pattern, because the pattern is, you know, what they want to get out of. You know, I did a consultancy for a guy yesterday, got a real result, but it took me 3 weeks. He'd already paid me for this consultancy, and he wanted to stop smoking cannabis. Yeah. But for 3 weeks, he's wants to call, do the call stoned. I'm like,
oh,
no way, mate. No way, bro. You're not doing a call stoned. Forget it. And he's like, well, you haven't got the courage to speak to me and all this stuff. So let's do an early morning call before you smoke. Just tell me when you're available. And I got him yesterday morning. And what a result. Straight in there. But you have to break the pattern. There's no point in trying to rescue someone when they're in the pattern. You have to break the pattern and do whatever it takes to do that.
Do you have a suggestion?
Whatever it takes to do that. It's always spontaneous with me. It's always spontaneous with me. You can ask them what time it is. You can do anything to break the pattern. Or just ask them a question. Do you want to carry on feeling like this, or do you want to move out of this absolutely into freedom and peace? You just have to step in there. You know, well, let's take a few breaths. You have to communicate to them immediately, as early as possible, that this is not the direction that we need to be going in.
Mm-hmm.
The drama, the process, the pattern, the story is actually reinforcing the problem. And we need to step out of this realm into another perspective. And do you want to do that now? And then you can just guide them through the breath. It's very important to use alternate nostril breathing with people that are stuck in traumatic patterns or have had any kind of trauma, shock, fear. The first thing you must do is get them to alternate nostril breathe. Why? Because it disengages the sympathetic nervous system response to the situation and activates the parasympathetic, which is the relaxing, calming, cooling, expanding side. Consciousness experiences quote-unquote reality through the central nervous system. It feels it through the central nervous system and then the organs of the physical body, and gets trapped in the identification with the body as itself, and then the mindset, the beliefs, the whole thought patterns that go with that perspective. So you have to understand that you're not dealing with a person who's got some emotional drama going on. What you're dealing with is consciousness that is perceiving what it calls reality. We're basically perceiving the ego's reality through the central nervous system. And it is trapped in a tiny cage. And consciousness is a gigantic, boundless, infinite thing. Wild as. You can't get any more wild, sensitive, pure, you're natural as your spirit. So when it gets into a little, trapped in a little cage, it gets frightened. There's fear. It's a very unnatural situation for it to be in. So what you're actually doing is liberating consciousness. You're not trying to heal someone reconcile some emotional thing or have a logical solution to the problems that they're facing in life. What you're trying to do is get them to move out of the cage, and the door's open. They just have to breathe, alternate nostril breathing, to relax, say thank you, think thank you, and then go into that peace. Tell them to put their hands together in front of their heart, and that balances the electrical energy that's coming from the heart through the positive and negative cables going down each arm, and that brings a tremendous amount of peace as well and makes them very stable. And then when they're there, they can just hang out there. And if their lives are traumatic enough, they will be severely motivated to hang out there in that freedom and peace.
Thank you. What do you think about crying it out? And, like, you know, there's a kind of old school idea of, like, you got to get all your emotions out, you know? And
well, you're never going to get all your emotions out. Grieving is a wonderful thing, but you have to, you know, it has to, you know, within context. Eating's a wonderful thing, but if you do too much of it, we know what happens. You know, laughing is a wonderful thing, but if you do too much of it, you know what happens. So, you have to understand that, yeah, there's nothing, grieving is wonderful, tears are very good, especially for the woman, especially for the, you know, for the feeling, a real feeling creature, or let's say for the feminine. Some men are, you know, more feminine than some women. So crying's very, very good when it's needed. So is beating the shit out of the pillows with, you know, really venting your rage and extreme anger. And I'd say that's probably more necessary than crying is. But how many people do that? So these things all have their place. But if you're doing it from the victim consciousness, from the ego consciousness, and just crying and telling your story, crying and telling your story, crying and telling your story, the victim's having a big feed. The ego's getting a big feed. So cry. You know, it's all about doing whatever you need to do so you can move into these deeper, this deeper sense of peace, which is a movement. It's not a process. It's a choice. There's no process involved when you go from speaking, thank you, to thinking, thank you. That's not a process. That's a choice. I was speaking it. Thank you. Now I'm thinking it. And now I'm going to make the choice to go deeper into intentionalizing it. And behold, I'm free. I'm out the cage. It's a choice. It's not a process. Process is an illusion that belongs in those superficial realms. And, you know, it doesn't mean it's any less real than anything else in this illusory world. So we honor it, but let's not give it too much power. And be very careful it doesn't hook us into this ridiculous realm where you end up with, you know, like these people in Ubud here where I am in Bali. And, you know, these really unhealthy women are making, you know, a lot of money from basically from process work, which never ends.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And women are coming all the time. The same women are coming back all the time. Year after year, month after month, or week after week, if they live here, and they're having a good cry, and a good emote, and they're feeling better temporarily, just like you feel better when you know, if you ate a load of junk food and then you go to the toilet or you do a coffee enema or something, you feel better temporarily. But if you go back and eat a load of junk food again, you're going to feel like shit. So this is what's going on, you know, it's this way it is. So the thing is we need to understand that there's a whole, just about every therapy is based on process work. And process work is based on the notion that you are a person and that you can get better, you can improve yourself if you do A, B, C, and D. Superhero training is based on you are consciousness. You already are perfect. What you need to do is make the choice to exist from this state of consciousness. And in order for you to constantly make that choice, you need to practice a little bit, not choosing this other thing. That's all it is.
How can you tell you're there? Like,
Ariel, how can you tell you're there? Ariel knows all about that.
I think you'll feel immense mercy and compassion just flowing through you, and you'll feel deeply at peace. I think that's a good practice to be doing while you're with someone anyway, just opening yourself up to being this channel of just this ocean of compassion coming through. So there's no judgment, there's equanimity, there's love, and you're at peace. I think you'll really, really feel it. And like another aspect too, what Nick was just sharing is when we express something, like he's sure there's a time and a place, and then some of it though is usually suppressed. So we still need to work with letting go on a deep spiritual level and bringing it, you know, with your intention really, with your power of intention and your awareness of it being there, just keep handing it over to a higher power. And, equanimity and peace. I think that's the real sign that it's clear.
I feel that.
Yeah. Really good question.
So, very, very, very good question. Thank you so much, Scarlett, for that.
Thank you so much.
One thing I want to add as well. What Ariel was describing then is you can't fake it. And the most important thing for you to be, Scarlett, is yourself. You have to be yourself. And we're all different, depending on what, you know, what our experiences are. So I'm really good at anyone that's had... I love working with people that are trying to be too nice, you know, they're just like, there's a psycho killer in there, but they're just trying to be sweetie pie, yeah? Just little Miss Sweetie Pie. But something in there, you know, just wants to do some damage, and he gets internalized, and he does do some damage. And he does it in the wrong way. So I just love calling that out and giving Sweetie Pies the permission to beat the living shit out of pillows or something like that. And to really, 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 really vent that frustration, rage, and anger. Because there's only really two emotions that any of us are dealing with in any given time. We could say there's three if you include fear. There's basically fear, anger, and sadness. And variations of those two, of those three. And the fear, you know, triggers, you know, frustration or anger or depression or, you know, sadness or, you know, confusion or hesitation, procrastination. And that generates, you know, anger or sadness. So fear kind of gets absorbed into those two. So there's really only these two meaty realms that need to be taken on. And this is, you know, again, the spiritual path, it's very, very simple. It's not a complicated thing at all. And it basically requires fearless honesty. And if you're triggered by something, the best thing you can do is to express that emotion as quickly as possible. And the fire of red energy, which is the warrior energy, so it's this tremendous energy for getting shit done, moving forward, if you can harness it properly. But it is also tremendously destructive if you suppress it and repress it and it goes toxic within yourself, or you direct it at someone else. Yeah? Now, I'm consulting for a business, right, at the moment. The owner of the business keeps emailing me and venting about her assistant, who she's got basically running her business. Her assistant keeps emailing me and venting about the owner.
No.
Yeah, and I'm like, do you think you guys should be talking to each other? Do you think there might be, you know, some need for some conversation here and some honest expression? So there's frustration, anger, and sadness in both of them because of the situation and the scenario. So I've got a call tomorrow and another call with them together, yeah? So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to have the owner beat the shit out of the pillows on her bed and vent her frustration, not at the girl, but taking responsibility for her own life, moving out of victim consciousness. And it means we have to take responsibility for every facet of our existence that we're aware of. Everything. All the most dreadful things that you're aware of in the world, and all the things that you don't like and don't understand, you have to take responsibility for them. They're a manifestation of something inside you, something in human consciousness that is manifesting out there. And the only thing you can do about it is to find where it is in yourself and eradicate it, dissolve it, which means stop feeding it energy, stop feeding it attention, stop giving it power, stop believing in it, and shift out of the emotional grip on it, let go of it, and move out of that cage absolutely into that other place. And if it triggers anger, you need to beat the shit out of something. And the pillows is a really good thing because you can't hurt yourself. And, you know, it's just fun. So you just go berserk on these pillows and hate and use all the toxic emotion you have. Hate the fact that you've been giving this thing power, that it exists inside of you and has some hold on you. And use the burning fire for determination to dissolve this pact. And you can do that for 30 seconds or, you know, 6 hours, as one woman did that I had on a retreat with me one time, 7 hours actually. She had one break and did 2 3.5-hour sessions of beating this log with this big wooden thing that I gave her. And I literally 3.5 hours and came down, had a drink, and then went back and did it again. And, you know, that's just the degree of rage that some people have inside of them, or they have access to release. They're strong enough to do that. So when you do that, whether it's 30 seconds or 7 hours, whatever it is, you can immediately put your hands together in front of your heart, say thank you, think thank you, and intentionalize thank you, and you will experience a deeper level of peace than you've done for a very long time. And whenever you're triggered again, do it again. Do it again. And it doesn't have to be, you know, beating the pillows. You can go for a run. You can do some vigorous exercise. You can smash a plate. You can slam a book shut. You can clap your hands together a few times. As long as you bring that feeling of intensity into whatever it is you're doing, and then immediately use it as a vehicle to ride on into your peace with tremendous determination. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh yes, definitely. I like to use chopping wood.
Wonderful.
That
me
one works
too.
Really well for me, because it also feels like I'm accomplishing something that needs to get done in my reality. Oh, so that's anger. Do you have a suggestion for releasing fear? Would it be the same thing, or would it not be?
Well, you can try the movements. You know, really, 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 really useful thing. Personally, I'm a big fan of movement because
me too.
Fear goes with the physical body. The physical body is an animal. It's animalistic. It has an animal aspect to it. When we're in fear, we're in the reptilian brain, so it behaves in a very primitive way, and it's all about survival. So moving your physical body helps you move the energy through the physical body. When you really move that energy through the dynamic expression, you can totally shift the alchemy of the feeling that you're in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you're paralyzed by fear, the best thing to do is, you know, when you go into catharsis, for example, you know, just dance like a maniac, just for example,
mm-hmm.
What you're doing is you're shaking up all the feelings, which is electromagnetic and electrochemical, and all of your thoughts, which is electrochemical, and just bringing yourself into a physical frenzy. When you shake it all up, it's a whole different hormonal response, blood chemistry response, and you have an opportunity then to reinstate whatever it is, the feeling you want to feel, if it's peace or whatever. You understand?
Yes.
But the worst thing about so-called spiritual practices is being hijacked by being too mental about it, and meditation and what you might call passive practices that don't involve the physical body, that don't involve catharsis, have become a mental wrestling match, which is feeding the ego, feeding the ego, feeding the ego. And so there's more efficient strategies depending on the individual. Depending on the individual. Alternate nostril breathing will move you out of, if you're feeling fear, your central nervous system is sympathetic side is turned on. And the thing is that it's pretty much turned on permanently for nearly everyone. Unless you're, you know, someone like Ariel and Michael that live away from urban centers and practice hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of deep, 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 deep meditation, and their environment is silence and peace and silence and peace. If you're in a city, for example, if you're in an urban environment, just the Wi-Fi, microwave, ELFs, EMFs, all of the invisible frequency energies that you're being subjected to will disturb your central nervous system and put it into stress mode. Mm-hmm. And so you will become, that's why people can't sleep, because they're in sympathetic response. So again, it's very, very simple. Your sympathetic nervous system, your autonomic nervous system is either in the sympathetic or it's in parasympathetic. Mm-hmm. If you're working for a living, if you have to go into the city, drive into town, do this, do that, if you have a long to-do list, if you have to go into these, urban and unnatural environments, sympathetic reaction. If you've grown up with violent movies, if you like entertainment that is stimulating and explosive and you go into places with loud noise and clubs and sympathetic nervous system activated. If you drink a lot of coffee, sympathetic nervous system activated. If you were traumatized in any way, shape or form that you can remember when you were a child or coming through school, which is nearly everyone, regardless whether it was severe or not, sympathetic nervous system. So we all feel fear when the sympathetic is activated. Alternate nostril breathing disengages that. So manually doing that, if you did that several times every day, you would never feel fear. If you vented any frustration, anger, rage, which is suppressed, you know, just because you're not feeling angry today, but you were yesterday or last week or last month, last year, it's still in there. So just by opening that channel, channeling it into determination to be able to be out the cage, if you do these things as a practice, not wait until, you know, you need, you're drowning to, before you, you know, practice swimming. You actually practice swimming every day, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't get these things don't get you. And if they do, you know how to disengage it immediately.
I love it. Thank
you. Does Ariel have anything to say about fear?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think one of the other best practices you can do, and this is easier when you're not in the fear, but is to have a practice where you are aware of that energy and with your intention. And I love how Nick was sharing how an intentionalized prayer, so I think that's like the most powerful prayer, with your intentionalized prayer, giving it up to a higher power. And so it's a good practice to do when you're feeling good, aware of any of the fear that's in
totally.
There and surrendering it up, you know, and you eventually deplete its stores and it's almost harder and harder to feel fear. And I just pictured you like sitting in an altar or something. Do you have an altar, kind of a sacred space in your home? You can.
Oh yeah.
You can also.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's a nice place to sit and let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to appreciate your sensitivity. You know, if you brought a tiger out the jungle that had never felt fear, and you put it into a city and just let it out the cage in the middle of a city, the tiger would just be going berserk inside of itself, because its central nervous system would be picking up on all of the stimulation, and that stimulation would be triggering a fear response, what we could translate as fear. So we don't have to be, you know, seeing something scary that we would say is frightening or feel like, you know, our life is being threatened or our survival is being threatened in a very obvious way in order to feel fear. We feel fear because we are extremely sensitive, natural, wild, free, beautiful, boundless creatures of absolute peace and love, and purity and goodness. And we are trapped, if we're stuck in body consciousness and the mindset that goes with it, we are trapped in a cage, in a perceived reality that is going increasingly insane with excruciatingly loud noise. Loud noise, quote unquote, whether we can hear it or not, with the frequencies that are hitting us every day are extremely disturbing to that sensitive vibrational frequency of our own inner being. So immediately the central nervous system registers that as fear, because it only has two places to go. It's either going to be more and more relaxed or more and more but you know, wound up, gripping. That's all it can do. It doesn't have a middle point. So alternate nostril breathing is constantly relaxing, constantly relaxing, constantly relaxing. And the deeper you go into yourself, and the more connection you have with other people and society and the culture, the more service you're doing, especially if you're in there, if you're not, you know, if you don't have a sanctuary when you're, you know, you're miles away from it, the more you're going to feel the fear, the more you're going to entrain to these energy fields and vibrations and patterns that are running these frequencies. So it's very important that you understand that we're like the Bhagavad Gita says, we're on a battlefield. Like Jesus says, like the Bible says, this is a battlefield. There is a war going on for possession of your consciousness, possession of your soul. That means there is a war going on to attract your attention. And fear is, you know, one polarity, and, you know, absolute peace and freedom is another. So it's good to prepare before you get up in the morning and before you go out in, you know, for your day. Understand that as soon as you open your eyes, it's game on. And before you go to sleep at night, before you close your eyes, it's game on. Because if you feed yourself negative stimulation, low frequency stimulation, disharmonious stimulation, such as watching the internet and stuff before you go to sleep, you take those frequencies into sleep time, and your consciousness organizes itself into a pattern according to that. And you experience relative astral experiences that mirror that thing. So you can have very disturbing night sleeps. But if you do your meditation, do your practice, do your breathing, prepare yourself absolutely. If you need to vent, beat the pillows. If you need to grieve, cry some tears. If you need to dance, but go through the verbal, the thought, and the intentionality, intentionalized prayer, and get yourself into a space where you can go into the dream time and be extremely nourished. In fact, sleepy time is the best time to really recharge your batteries. You can literally, Mother Mary, for example, there's, if you Google up Mother Mary's healing palaces, there are healing realms that Mother Mary has in the astral realms where you can intentionalize before you go to sleep to go there.
Oh, wow.
And receive nourishment in sleep and wake up feeling absolutely amazing. Your dreams are a good reflection of where you're actually at inside of yourself. If you sleep very peacefully and have beautiful, beautiful, beautiful dreams, otherworldly dreams, you know you're in a really good place inside of yourself. If you have very disturbed nights of sleep, agitated nights of sleep, and your dreams are full of worldly kind of stuff, or, you know, emotionally charged kind of drama scenarios that you can, you know, your personality can relate to, you know where you're living. And then when you wake up in the morning, get ready for the battlefield. It's not about, you know, walking around with your with no preparation. You wouldn't go out onto a battlefield, you know, without, you know, really being prepared for it. It's just the way it is. And we are peaceful warriors. We're gentle warriors. We're the ambassadors of peace. We're the embodiments of a higher love, of compassion, of goodness, and all the rest of it. And these are the ultimate warriors, the ones that have conquered the dichotomy and schism within themselves, that aren't being thrown in this polarity roller coaster, round and round and round thing within which the mind and body consciousness is subjected to. That is the ultimate warrior. But we're in this world, and this world is a projection. It's a manifestation of the human psyche, and the human psyche is absolutely, you know, possessed and schizophrenic and goodness knows what else, because most everyone is in body consciousness and the mind that goes with that, the ego. So this is the ego's world, the ego's drama. The ego lives in fear. That's why life, if you look at it through the lens of mass consciousness, is very, very scary. There's all kinds of scary shit going on all over the place. Even though your life might be wonderful and you don't experience frightening, you know, or any dreadful things whatsoever. Personally, I never see any war. I don't, like, you know, all of this war so supposedly that's going on. And politicians, I never see a politician. As, you know, it's like, do they even exist? I don't know. You know, or is it just someone making all this up, you know? I have no idea. But I never see it, any evidence of it whatsoever. What I see evidence of all the time is wonderful, beautiful, good people that are into sharing and caring and goodness, 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 goodness. I see lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of evidence of that and how wonderful, wonderful life is. Lots of evidence of that.
When you get smashed by the ocean and tossed around like that, do you not feel fear?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, sometimes if the waves are big enough and the situation is, you know, critical enough, yeah, of course I'll feel fear. But the thing is not about not feeling fear or not feeling anger or not feeling sadness or not feeling jealousy, etc., etc. Life's not about that. It's about what do you do now you're feeling it. Mm. That's where your responsibility kicks in. And if you allow it to overwhelm you, you're going to be in trouble. But if you apply the teachings, the strategies, use the tools in the moment, and this is what I'm really into is the stuff that works in the heat of the moment, on the absolute front line of life. Yeah, that's where I like. You know, that's where I, you know, very often am called to. To live right on the front line. Mm-hmm. What works right now? And these things work. These things work.
Thank you. I could talk to you for the I could talk to you all night long.
Oh, thank you, Scarlett. I'm glad you two got to meet. And I just want to close with one more emphasis on this intentionalized prayer. For overcoming fear with just the power of a nourishing thought, whether it's thank you, like we explored in the beginning of the call, or it's a nourishing thought like I'm a beloved child of God, or any nourishing thought, I'm a being of love, whatever it is for you. And then bringing that deeper and deeper into your being can also transform that state of fear, because you're feeding yourself, you're nourishing yourself with truth. So. Now you have a lot of things to work with.
Wonderful.
So that's beautiful what Ariel just said. So if you're sitting in your bath or doing some meditation, or, you know, you're at home on your own and you see something or hear something that triggers a fear response, and you want to apply that, I'm a beloved child of God, you say that out loud. Several times. I'm a beloved child of God. Let's all do this right now. I'm a beloved child of God. Say it.
I'm a beloved child of God. I'm a beloved child of God.
I'm a beloved child of God.
I'm a beloved child of God.
I'm a beloved child of God. Is there anyone not smiling now already? I am a beloved child of God. I'm a beloved child of God. I am a beloved child of God. I'm a beloved child of God. Keep saying it, but just think it. And feel the feelings. Feel the feelings. Keep saying it and think silently. Just think it. Keep saying it inside of yourself. Strong, clear thoughts. I'm a beloved child of God. Feel where that takes you. Where are you going now? Where are you going? Are you going deeper into your center? Now, I want you to get a hold of your faith to be absolutely knowing the certainty that this is true. I'm a beloved child of God. Say it, think it silently to yourself. Think it, clear thought. I'm a beloved child of God, and feel the feeling. Track where it's taking you. Track it. Now feel that feeling, stay on that track, and keep intentionalizing, I am a beloved child of God, but don't say it and don't think it. Shift out of the thinking and the internal voice, the inner voice. And from there, you can intentionalize gratitude to God for your power, anything you want. Intentionalize, thank you for your strength, thank you for your power, thank you for your resilience, thank you for your faith, thank you for your love, thank you for your peace, thank you for your power, thank you for your power, thank you for your love, thank you for your healing. Intentionalize that. Deep, deep, deep intentionality. Intentionalize it. Feel that tracking. Feel that state of consciousness. Feel that feeling of what it means to intentionalize that organization of your consciousness. Beyond thoughts, beyond inner speak. Now, however easy that is for you, or however difficult that is for you to do that, is an indicator of where you are at in terms of your ability to master your own mind, to manage your own psyche. And this is what the game of life is. That's all it is. Consciousness is learning to manage its own power. That's all it is. And that power is the power of creation, the power to create. So if you are a child of God, if you really are a child of God, and if the power of God is running through you, if you have access to anything like that power, what are the consequences of a child of God with that degree of power thinking one frightening thought, or one angry thought, or one jealous thought? What are the consequences of that? Infinite power. When you contemplate these things, you understand why it's possible, a possibility of why the world is so frightening to so many people, why there are scary things in this reality we share, and why there are scary things in our stories and histories and mythologies. Because extremely powerful beings have the pattern, they've got into patterns that manifest this. So this is what it's all about. Mastery, 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 mastery. We're very good at this. It's very natural for us. And we just have to do these very simple little practices. Now, to the degree that you could do that, however easy that was on a scale of 1 to 10, or however difficult it was on a scale of 1 to 10, it's an indication of where you are at. And if in the heat of the moment, if you're triggered in fear, for example, if there's a big wave about to break on your head, and you're just tied to a surfboard with spiky fins on it, and there's rocks all around you, you're probably going to need to move some energy. You need to take action and move. So whatever it takes to move that energy, and alternate nostril breathing is moving energy. Going from verbal to thought to silent intention is moving energy, you see? So wherever it takes, that's what you do to shift the gears. And the more you practice, the better you get at it. The more you are able to exist in that silent state of intentionality, the more natural it becomes for you to exist from your true inner nature. And as you do that more and more and more, it just becomes who you are in this world.
Powerful. And you guys can imagine the power of a thought like, I am a beloved child of God, or thank you, and the power that's creating and transforming the world. So transform, and feed yourself with nourishing thoughts, especially if these energies of fear, other things come up. And go into the depths of it and stay with it. And so I'm wondering if we have any other questions. We've had a few lovely souls join us. Oh, we do. All right. I think we have Ethan.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Ethan.
How's it going, Nick?
Wonderful, man.
I'm really enjoying everything that was just being shared in that conversation. I want to say thank you, Scarlett, for asking some really potent questions. That was great. So I was going to backtrack a ways, and Ariel was asking if anybody would share about their experiences with, can you remind me what exactly it was?
Oh, right. Yes, your experience in the beginning when we were going into that thank you and internalizing, intentionalizing that prayer, and just your experience of that.
Specifically in that moment there that we all shared, or just in general?
Yeah, that, and in general what you experience when you go into that silence, when you go into that peace, you go into that place in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that particular instance, I was feeling the gratitude and in my heart, and you know, everything else just kind of disappears when you put your focus and your intention on something, right? So that's always a blessing. Mm-hmm. But in general, I would say my experience is always something to that effect, where everything else, all the trivial concerns about life and what's going on, just dissipates, and I feel really peaceful and content no matter what's going on, and that's a really good place to be.
Perfect. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the best place to be. The contentment is another wonderful word. Just total contentment, like a peaceful happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like this certainly wouldn't be unique for me. I'm sure everybody's had some degree of the same experience, but when we're really young, as a child, before we hit age 7, when we're still in the developmental process, picking up things from the environment on a really subtle level, I remember being in that state like 90% of the time and just being really receptive and, just no concerns, really, not a lot of anxiety that I can remember from that time. Just feeling really connected with the environment. And for me, that was in the late 80s, early 1990s when I was going through that process myself. And so, cell phones weren't a thing back then. And it was really, still, even with all the technology around, it was really easy to tap into the energy and the vibration of the environment, like the natural environment, wherever I was at the time. And I grew up in a really, really small town in Colorado, spent a lot of time outdoors with all the different creatures in that area. I remember feeling so connected to life and certain. You guys talk about the certainty of who we are. I was like there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, to get back to that place, I've had little tidbits of it here and there, I feel like, but the ego's just been so strongly developed through the course of indoctrination through the traditional Western systems, it can be a little challenging to get back to that authenticity.
Well, that's wonderful, bro, and thank you for articulating that. And it really is that's what the hero's journey is, and it's very natural, and it's integrated into the mythological themes in the stories of the hero's journey. This is supposed to happen, or this is what choice is all about. And in the David and Goliath story, which is one of my favorite mythological tales, the boy David, he grows up in nature, and he's looking after his father's sheep and goats there in the grassy hills. And what it symbolizes is, like that boy, you were in the purity of nature and the innocence of youth, just being connected to life. Something wonderful happens during that period of life, and certain initiations take place. And if you're, if you're blessed enough, you get that. You get grounded in that certainty, a conviction within yourself. But it's all happening quite naturally, yeah? So it's not actually your choice. You're not choosing it. It's happening by itself. And then the seduction of the world presents itself. And again, we're talking about a battlefield. The world is an externalization of the human psyche. So what we're talking about is an outward manifestation of mass consciousness of the human mind. And so the pure-hearted natural being then goes on a journey through mind, we're all destined to go through a final initiation or an extremely significant initiation down the line. We're all moving towards this right now. And David obviously was destined to face Goliath. And when he went down onto the battlefield and volunteered to fight the monster, the giant, the king, Saul, made him wear his own armor. So he put on the king's armor because he wouldn't let him fight without it, and he couldn't move in it. It was too heavy and cumbersome. So he took it off and gave it back to the king, and then went down and faced Goliath. Now, what that symbolizes is that we all have to, you know, it's a natural part of this process, is trying on the armor of the world, trying on this worldly mindset, this worldly attitude, this belief in consumerism and materialism, and that bigger is better and more is good, all of this stuff, yeah, that we need all these things in order to somehow feel more complete or better about ourselves. So we go into this physically, mentally, emotionally, and we get to a certain point in our evolution, in the evolution of consciousness, where we go, I'll take this stuff off now. And what a lot of people have felt that realization, but they're so embedded in the thing. They have families, children, mortgages, credit card bills, and they are absolutely trapped in a survival game and stuck in the matrix, and they don't know how to liberate themselves internally from this situation. So the trick is to understand that these, you know, it's all very natural for us to go on this journey, lose our way, take on things that we don't actually need, come to a moment of realization where I'm actually going to give the king of the world his armor back, because it's actually detrimental to my movement forward, and go and face the biggest challenge of my life, which is, you know, in that story is represented by a, you know, a real giant and a monster man. And it's that part of us, the innocent puher eternus, the eternal child within us, the ascending heart energy that is infinite, eternal, and on its wonderful journey through life, that is destined to meet that challenge and navigate it successfully. And the wonderful thing about life is so wonderful that it allows, you know, the boy that you were, this puher eternus, to experience all this through the eyes of wonder, and within the context of, you know, having a reference point to who it was and where it came from, and be just in an absolute state of wonder about where it's going. That's what this innocent, eternal, childlike, divine part of us is, the puher eternus, it's called in the Greek mythology. So it's a good time. It's a really good time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And this removing of the armor, it doesn't mean that we have to abandon our families and leave our jobs and this and that and the other. But what it does mean is we have to leave this within ourselves, leave this realm, this verbal realm, this mental realm that goes with the world, and drop down, go deeper into ourselves, into this freedom place, move out of that cage and start experiencing ourselves in the freedom and peace that already exists within us. And when we can do that at will, and we can live in that, we're actually free. This, regardless of whatever the circumstances are, we could be in jail in some, you know, foreign country for 30 years or something, but we're actually free because we're free inside.
Yeah, right. Liberated from the extreme influence of material mind, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you guys have anybody else with their hands raised or got some time? I have some questions that have been coming to mind lately.
That's a good question. We don't currently have any other hands raised. And Nick, how are you on time? Do you want to go a little longer?
Ask and ye shall receive.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Ethan.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'm going to ask something that's kind of relative to what one of the things that Scarlett was wondering about in her questions, a little bit different. When we are, you know, in conversation with other individuals, other souls, about just anything, any kind of topic in general, but particularly relative to the changing times and what this internal shift that's going on right now, and we're, you know, talking with people that have maybe not had too much experience with, how do I say, they maybe haven't been necessarily thinking for themselves too much lately, or they're not so much into spiritual matters, we'll say, to put it in a box. And we're attempting to express verbally certain feelings and views that we might have that we feel is truth within ourselves, and we can relate to other people in a similar way. How can we, I've got to reference how I actually wrote this down on my list. Hold on just a moment. So I wrote down as techniques or approaches that you could recommend that tend to produce success when communicating truth to others, and success in terms of this other individual that we're relating to, their receptivity to that knowledge or that information instead of resistance to it. Does that make any sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go first, Ariel?
Sure. Yeah, so there's one thing really, Ethan, and that one thing's really your presence and your energy and your love. And I think, first of all, you would only really maybe share with somebody if they're inviting you to, they're asking, so you feel the pulse and you see, you know, are they receptive? Do they want to hear about these things? Is this the right moment for this? And then really the main thing is your heart and your presence and your love and your peace. You know, people have been speaking and hearing teachings for thousands of years, and I think a lot of souls are tired of hearing the words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest service you can really give is you can share things, but it's really about this space that you're sharing them from. Being the embodiment of what you're sharing. You know, being an instrument of so much compassion and so much love, and coming about the conversation perhaps in more of an inquisitive way, just asking them questions and just being a space of love. And just that consciousness can really open up a conversation. And what it can do is it can really open up their mind and their heart and their receptivity. And then the conversation can really unfold quite naturally from that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of, I'm now just feeling that I asked that question and hearing your response that it's going back to what Nick was teaching us about this intention, the unspoken, unthought intention that we carry into that interaction that really has a massive influence on how this other person either entrains to us or they don't, right?
Exactly. So just to break that down for everyone, if they haven't quite got it, when you're in your with your question, you said, you know, basically, your goal is to have them receive the information that you want to share. Well, if you're verbalizing that information, you're in the most superficial realm. If you're thinking that information and verbalizing it, you're in a slightly deeper realm, but it's still connected to that superficial one. So those superficial realms, nothing actually, there's no causal power. They don't actually cause anything. It's the realm of effect. So all we're ever witnessing in this world is just a consequence of thoughts and feelings from the past, thoughts and feelings and words and actions from the past. That's all we're witnessing, the consequence of that. It's the realm of effect. This is the way where it all plays out. We witness the consequences of the way human beings are thinking, the way they're feeling, what they believe, how they, you know, the consequences of their actions. So if you want to change anything or anyone, you have to go to the causal level. So that means not talking about it, but deeply, deeply, deeply in the frequency and presence. And that makes your life much easier, much more sure. So you can go into space antagonistic towards your point of view. And you can hold the space of love, as Ariel referred to it, beautiful, beautiful way of putting it, and be a humble servant. Yeah? And I'm always banging on about this. Just, you know, help do the washing up, take the trash out. You know, see what needs to be done practically and offer to help from that space of love. And you will impact that space with your consciousness and the individuals in it in a far greater way than you would do if you were, you know, preaching something or arguing or discussing and you were just having a mental conversation, yeah? A debate or you know, a chat. So I'm not saying don't do that, don't discuss, don't talk, don't share, but the ego has an opinionated point of view, a positionality that has an emotional charge behind it, and it wants to be right. It always wants to validate its perspective. The secret to becoming really powerful and effective in the world is to release that charge.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you, for instance, let's talk about the power of prayer. I really believe in the power of prayer. I've witnessed it, goodness knows how many times. I've, you know, probably countless times now, how effective it is. And I'm a big proponent of it. I do it a lot. And I like to share it with as many people as possible. Now, if I was running around with a big charge on that and, you know, standing on a soapbox in the high street or something and shouting at everyone, you know, it probably wouldn't be very effective, and I would engage, could engage negativity, opposition, from people that don't you know, that don't believe in it or think it doesn't work or they're not interested in my perspective, yeah? But if you're coming from that silent intention place of prayer where you're moving through the world in peace and you're intentionalizing being a servant for the higher good, for the highest good of all beings. That's what I do. I'm always praying for the highest good of all beings. Yeah. So, and I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but life knows what that is. So it makes your life a lot easier. And also it makes it more of an adventure because you don't know how things are supposed to be unfolding. But you can organize yourself inwardly where you get to witness the highest possible outcome of this. And that's the really fun part of life when you just get to witness, like all this stuff that I shared, like that, what I was sharing about going from the verbal to the thought, to the intention. No one taught me that. I didn't read it. I didn't see it on YouTube. No one taught me that. That just came through my experiences, yeah. And I'm really into this original thought and original and birthing originality. If you really check out, you know, all the stuff that I've been involved in creating, and especially all the stuff that's on my website, you'll see it's a lot of it is original thought, original perspectives, original points of view. And this is the wonderful thing about the infinite truth and eternal life and infinite love is because it is infinite and it is eternal. And you as a unique expression of that have the opportunity to be a unique expression of that. And it's just about you being you. Not trying to be anyone else, but you being you. And if you're constantly dropping down from the verbal thought realm into the intentionality realm and witnessing, just watching what's flowing through, and trusting and allowing yourself, giving yourself permission for you to be you, you're just crazy little you in however that is being inspired to express in any given moment, everything gets revealed, and you can flow through life without generating opposition. You can be a blessing to people's lives, and you might not necessarily instantly get a recognition or a validation of that, but it might soak in. And it might take a long time. Somebody emailed me the other day, and I couldn't listen to me how long ago it was I did the consultancy for them, and it was over a year. And they emailed me and were just so thankful for, you know, like they finally got it or something, you know. So you don't know. And if you're living life from the right motivation within yourself, your reason for being is to kind of move out of the way within yourself and allow life to flow through you. That's your priority. That's your focus. That's your real mission. And as you do that, it just takes all the pressure off needing to know or needing to be right or, you know, everything that the ego wants to possess and for its own, you know, validation. It just lets all that go. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, so ultimately, it's like back to the question that I asked. A lot of it has to do with our ability to get out of the ego and not be there when we're, you know, having these communications so that the truth can, like, flow through us.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the heart and not from the mind or the intellect. Because yeah. Like you guys say, that it's so true that ego's got its perspective and its little things that it likes to hold on to, like they're the Holy Grail, and it really likes to chat it up about that stuff and kind of impose it on people in certain circumstances where it feels necessary.
Exactly. And it'll do that more or less subtly. You know, it'll be really obvious or maybe not so obvious. But the good thing about doing it the other way, from that humble, compassionate space of intentionality that is God-focused, is that you can really entrain to someone else's field. You can absolutely connect with them because it's not your ego vibration trying to meet, communicate from a positionality. It's this flow of energy that's flowing through you, flow of consciousness that's flowing through you, and that flow of consciousness is perfect, and it knows exactly what that person needs. So vibrationally, you can establish a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful rapport, and we feel this as love, you know. So it's almost like you fall in love with everyone that you connect with in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really sums it all up, I would say. That's the one I'm like thinking originally when I was coming up with that question and writing it down, I was thinking in the plural, what kind of techniques are there? But it really comes down to just that one thing that is the essence of how to be effective in those circumstances.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And when we go to when we move out of that verbal thinking into the intentionality, we are connected. And like I was saying before about the digestion and everything that we don't know anything about, and all these life processes we're absolutely clueless about, but they're just all happening. It's the same thing with this self-organization, self-harmonization, the salvation of humanity. Life will take care of it. All we have to do is move ourselves into that space of love within ourselves that allows the wonder to unfold. And the ego doesn't want to let go of its positionality. It wants to, stay there, analyze, and present its point of view, which is a minuscule perspective, you know, with a massive distortion field, and doesn't really do anything.
Right.
It has small solutions. It has lots of band-aids. The ego's got plenty of band-aids, but there's a big festering wound in the cut. The cut is extremely infected. It's very, very deep, and needs some real, real medicine and some microsurgery of the master surgeon. And the ego doesn't have anything but band-aids. So it means well. It means well. We have to kind of be firm and gentle with it. It's like having it's like if you were a parent with a child, but the child is, like 6'8" and 350 pounds and prone to epileptic fits of violence and is kind of frothing, foam and spittle all the time and has got his little band-aids, yeah, and wants to put them on. It's like, okay, Jimmy, Put you back in your cage for a moment while we take care of this very serious injury here, But you have to be really understand the dynamics here. Look where we are in this world right now, what we're on the brink This is a very serious moment in the human drama unfolding, and it is all the ego's creation. So this is not a joke. This is a big deal. And so we need to, you know, be very assertive in a loving way to remove ourselves from association with this this monstrous, well-meaning child of insanity.
Indeed. You know, and Ethan, when you're having these conversations, by dropping into this space of love and intentionalizing being in a place of peace, it's going to be very powerful for you too. When you walk away from that conversation, what the ego typically wants to do is pick it apart, and I shouldn't have said that, or I should have said that, and it can become this whole silly thing. And so it's so much more about the presence and the love that you're emitting. And when you walk away from that conversation or any, you feel the fruit of that because that soul felt your love, because you're emitting that love. You just feel the happiness of that, and it's nothing to do with what you said and was it right or wrong. So I think it'll be a nice experiment for you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I have just reflected. I know I've done that multiple times, and it just happens quite naturally to the ego one to just, like, dissect it and, figure out what could have gone better or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the response to that. That was a nice conversation. Well,
yes,
you're probably...
Thank you for the question.
What's that?
Thank you for the question.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I hope that was helpful for other people too that are either listening now or will be listening to the recording.
I'm sure it will.
No doubt.
Indeed.
All right. Well, so, you guys are probably wanting to wrap up the show here. It's been almost 2 hours now.
It's been a good show, maybe everybody. I don't see any other hands raised. However, I will read something from Mariette that she wrote in. It's really lovely. She said, super awesome call. So connected to these teachings. Huge smiles from Holland. Thank you, beloved child of God, Mariette.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have this
here. You're so blessed.
No, I think you should leave.
You think I should leave?
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. So taking in with a deep breath, the deep nourishment and wisdom and peace received on this call. Just taking a deep breath and very naturally and easily coming into this space of deep peace, of deep silence, of deep love, where everything else of the other worldly concerns just dissipates, and you just intentionalize this prayer of deep peace. And very naturally, you feel the peace and you feel the vibrations of peace coming from the Supreme and filling you with a deep bliss. And you find the mind becomes more and more silent doesn't have so much to say. The mind can rest and be in a peaceful way. And you just enjoy experiencing this stillness, the soul, the eternal self, who you are as a being whose depths and original nature is silence, deep peace, deep silence. It's been said that you are the witness of deep, silent being. It doesn't need to be spinning around in thoughts or emotions or anything. And so you just enjoy this experience completely beyond the effects of the wave in this very stable, very silent, and very peaceful center, where the vibrations of love coming from your heart are flowing effortlessly, and as if the ocean of love himself, the one God, is just pouring this love into you, and you're simply a vessel sharing this love out through your heart and flowing all over the world, the atmosphere, like a peaceful ocean, peaceful waters of love. And just staying in this space and knowing that this energy is counteracting by thousands of or millions of souls any negativity. You're countering it with this love and with your stability of peace as a peaceful soul and identifying as that. You can hold this space, this intentionalized prayer. Keep holding it, keep being it, keep returning to it, and making it a constant practice. If it's not constant, it's hardly very real for us. We have to make it constant. So go into the practice. You're all incredibly blessed and powerful superheroes, definitely special souls, especially in these times. And Nick and I really, truly honor you and love you very much. So with that, we'll say aloha for now and be connecting with you all real soon.
Beautiful, Ariel. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
everyone. See you soon.
Much love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.